Now we come actually to that which is the, I think we could call it now, the last section of the book of Deuteronomy. It is the fourth and last. Requiem to Moses. We've come now to the end of this man's life. In fact, the Bible up to this point is written by Moses, and a great deal of it's been about him ever since the time they came out of the land of Egypt. For 40 years, he's been concerned with them. We've had his record of 120 years of his life. Now he's getting ready to die. And notice in chapter 31, verse 1, "And Moses went and spoke these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan." Two things about him. He's getting old now. We all get old. Most of us are not going to make it to 120, and we'll do well if we make it to 80. I get so many letters from people from the age of 80 up to 100, however, I didn't realize there were so many. But that means that when we move up into that area, that we are no longer useful or vital as far as God's program is concerned. And the interesting thing here is Moses is not essential now to go over the Jordan River. In fact, God's made it very clear to him, Moses, you're not going over. You're not going over. And it was because, actually, of his disobedience. And he'll not be able to go over. He smote that rock twice when he should have spoken to it. And God says, you will not go over. He's not essential. A new leader will take them over. And God's made it clear he's not going to be the leader much longer. Now, verse 3, "The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee. Thou shalt possess them, and Joshua, he shall go over before thee as the Lord hath said." Now, Moses did not pick Joshua. God picked him. He was God's chosen leader to succeed Moses. I do not know this, but I think if it had been left to Moses, that he probably would not have chosen Joshua. We'll see this when we get to Joshua. But actually, Caleb, up to the time of the book of Joshua, seems much more impressive than Joshua, and seems to be more natural for him to be the leader. And then, after all, Moses is human. Isn't he apt to pick one of his sons to succeed him? That's the way they did it down in Egypt for the Pharaohs, and he might be inclined to do that. God will pick now Joshua to lead them over the Jordan River. Moses is not essential. That has a great lesson for us, does it not? Well, it tells us that none of us are essential to God's program, friends. I think one of the things today that is a danger of some Christians is that they think that they're essential. I had a pastor say to me, he was getting up in years. He said to me, "Brother McGee, I just can't retire. I'm so essential to this work." And that man, since then, he died in harness. But very interesting thing is, he wasn't essential, friends, at all. The work prospered more after he died than it ever prospered before. None of us are essential at all. We may think we are, and when the time comes, we should step aside and let God raise up another leader. And that is the thing that Moses is having to do. Now, Moses is encouraging these people. Listen to him at verse 6. He says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them." He's speaking now of the Amorites and of the enemies, the many tribes that are there in the land. He says, "Be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." And you'll find that Moses again and again is encouraging this new generation to cross over. Why do you think he's encouraging them? Well, he had the experience of leading their fathers, the past generation, the Kadesh Barnea, and he saw them all turn yellow and run back into the wilderness. And Moses now is encouraging this new generation to go on in. God will lead them into the land. And find that he now calls Joshua. Notice this, verse 7. And Moses called unto Joshua, and he said unto him in the sight of all Israel. And this was great, and this was as it should be. Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Now he encourages Joshua, and through him encourages the people again. And then he says in verse 8, the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. That's the thing actually Isaiah had to learn. You remember in the 6th chapter of Isaiah, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. Poor old Isaiah, you know, thought Uzziah's been a good king. He's dead now and things are going to the bow wows. Going to be bad. Another king will be raised up. And what did he find out when he went into the temple? He found out God was still on the throne. That the real king of Israel and Judah, he wasn't sick. He was still on the throne. He hadn't died at all. And I'm afraid that this idea today, God is dead, is really very bad information. It's been used before. And here, God will go before them into the land. Now, verse 9, and Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto the elders of the people. Now, you remember at the beginning, we made the statement, it says Moses spoke these words. And you have there about 8 orations in the book of Deuteronomy, but they were written out now, you see. Moses wrote this law. And as we said, this was the beginning of the attack that was made against the Bible. It began in the Grafvelhausen hypothesis that Deuteronomy was written by the priests. Later on, and not written by Moses at all, and the original argument was that writing was not in existence in Moses' day. And friends, it was in existence in Moses' day. In fact, it goes way back of Moses, but that theory is still around, and it's called liberalism, one time called modernism, and of course there was nothing modern about it. Now, even at this time, though they're going to enter the land, you would think that God wouldn't take them in if there was a chance of them failing. And yet he tells Moses here that's exactly what's going to happen. When they get in the land, they're going to turn their backs on God. You know, God knows human nature, knows your being and my being. Why, friends, we'd walk away from him in the next 10 minutes. If he didn't keep us close to himself. So we find here that the Lord said unto Moses, verse 14, behold, thy day is approached, that thou must die. Call Joshua, and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went, presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud. A pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. The Lord said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and thy people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant, which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I'll forsake them. I'll hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? Now, I know that there are people say today, oh, my, we're different. We'll not turn away from God. My friend, I've been a pastor for a long time, And an old retired preacher, you know, is always referring back to the past. Did you know that the Lord Jesus said the same thing about the church? He says, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find the faith on the earth? That is, the body of doctrine that he left. May I say, the answer to that is no, he won't. And that's predicted in the New Testament, an apostasy of the church, just like there was of Israel. And you and I are living in it today. And I've seen in my day that which curdles my blood. I've seen church after church that at one time was conservative, would hear nothing but the Word of God, and finally went over really into liberalism, took the emphasis off of the Word of God, and before long had plunged and departed from the faith. And there was a time when I believed those churches could never be moved. Well, I suppose I've become a little cynical today. And I have seen man after man who at one time proposed and professed to be sound in the faith turn away from the things of God. I don't say that you can't do it or that I can't do it. That's the reason I said at the beginning, I pray these days more than anything else, O Lord, keep me close to Thee. Keep me close to Thee in these days. Verse 19, now therefore write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. Now, music is a very important factor. Someone years ago said, let me write the music of a nation, and I do not care who writes the laws. And today we are being greatly influenced by music. Any people will. And right now, the music that is getting into our churches is a disgrace, according to this poor preacher. Somebody needs to speak out against it. Many pastors, I think, are afraid to, because they'll just be going against the grain. But my friend, this new music today is not saying anything. This new music only has a beat, that's all. And it's not drawing people closer to the Lord Jesus. And all this pious nonsense about this is the way we're going to serve God today, or this is the only way we'll be able to reach this generation. May I say to you, you'll reach the generation, all right, with popular music, but you'll never reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't work that way. We read here in verse 24, it came to pass when Moses had made an end of writing the words of the law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. The book, you understand, was not a book like we have today, but a scroll, and on that scroll, why, there was the lettering. And at this particular time, it could actually have been a clay tablet. But we believe that even in Moses' day, it was a scroll. Now, he says in verse 28, gather unto me all the elders of your tribes, your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them, for I know that after my death ye will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spoke in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. Now, before we get into the song here in the 32nd chapter, may I say that this statement that Moses makes here, made it about 3,500 years ago, it's still accurate, still true, and it's been fulfilled quite literally. And it's also true of the entire human family, for God has said that mankind apart from God will utterly corrupt themselves. And all we have to do is look around us today, and we can see that is true.